Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. I want to welcome you to Adar 1. And it's literally a month to leap forward, and many of you have not been able to get the calendar because it got hung up in my system. It looks like it might be spam because I have too many people on that one list, and I apologize. You can go to the Republic website and get the new calendar. But it's a time of leaping forward. It's a time, it's a Jewish leap year because it is a leap year, and it's also a Jubilee year. So it's a double. So it's a time of double blessings. And during this time of year, it only happens seven times in a 19-year cycle. Every 3 years, the Hebrews add an additional 29-day month called Adar 1. And Adar 1, Adar 2 has to stay the same because the feasts have to fall in proper place. And that's Nisan, you know, she's talking Passover and everything and coming back to Purim and all that. So it's an additional month because they work on the lunar calendar versus the solar calendar that we're used to. They only have 360 days. Max, and we have 365. So there's a lot of things that make a difference. So it's the year to see what our destiny is going to be, what our future is going to be, and it's represented by a stag or deer leaping. And the biggest thing is to make sure that you leap in the right direction. You know, the enemy's on prowl like a roaring lion, scheming to get the sons and daughters of God to distract and cause them to leap off cliffs into abysses and to the mouth of the hungry lion. And it's really, literally a season of war for the restoration and reformation of God's kingdom. So all one has to do is look around at the wars and rumors of wars and all the turmoil that's going on. And you can literally see it. I mean, you can hear it on the news every day. And God said, pick up your weapons of war and be prepared for the fight and fight a good fight. But don't jump ahead. Listen before you leap. Now, I talk about a dream Terry Friesen, who is a good friend of the ministry, and he contributes to our calendar, had. And I want you, if you don't have the calendar, go to the Republic website and download it. And we'll give one more shot before we'll get off this call about how to get there. But it's a time where the battle is really upon us, and it's real. It's not dress rehearsal. If you all don't know this by now, then I need to take some of the stuff that you're smoking because it is really, the war is going on. And, you know, it's a time to pay attention. Last year, the Lord said to me, I guess it was, April a year ago. So it'd be a year and a half coming up. A year and a half. The Lord said, hold the line. He said, I want you to hold the line. I want my troops to get in there and hold the line. Do not let the enemy advance anymore. And rest. Well, you think, how can I rest in the middle of a fight? But he said that. And he says, the enemy's at our door. And it's time for us to beat our plows into swords and pay attention to what the Lord is saying because the angel army is with him and he's ready to do things. And many of you have heard, you know, that we've seen literally the angel armies. And God said, you know, it's time to rise up. It's time to do something. And it's time to advance. So I know that Barry Wants, myself, and a dozen others have all been pushing, it's time to advance. It's time to advance. And again, and a vision of heaven where we were on the mountain of the Lord and there was angels everywhere, columns for the legions and then the ministering angels, the warring angels, and I looked around, it was totally quiet, and Yeshua was there, and you know, it wasn't immediately asking this. I said, why is it so quiet up here? He said, my sons and daughters are waiting on me to do something. Actually, we're waiting on you to do something. I gave you authority and dominion on earth. When are you going to do something? Give the orders to advance. Set the angels of the Lord into battle and be prepared to join them. Well, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do. Is I'm going to go in and fight. Yeah, you are. You know, you got to put on your armor. If you don't put on your armor, you're naked in the middle of a fight anyhow. But he said, put on your armor. Be prepared. And then go into battle, be prepared with the word, and quickly use the Lord rebuke you, because you don't want to take on something that you really do not want to have anything to do with. Because you might get hurt mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. But be prepared, because he's given us the authority, but he's also waiting on us to ask, what is our next steps? Now, in prayer, the Lord gave Matt, dear friend Jim Gregory, John Rockwell, April Clawson Brown, Terry Friesen, and myself, instructions to have our SWAT team, our spiritual warfare attack team, pull together scriptures and literally take the glass and bronze ceiling that was above us down. And we prayed, and the Lord shattered it. So we knew that things are getting ready to pick up at a rapid pace. And we've had reports all week long on our three times a week call about what God is doing and how things are shifting. And he gave us a lot of scripture, Psalms 107. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. And his mercy and loving kindness is forever. So, you know, it's all. If you look at 107 and look at the whole chapter, you're going to be blessed by it. And then he gave us Isaiah 60, arise from the depression and procrastination in which circumstances have kept you in life. Shine, be radiant and with the glory of the Lord, for the light of the Lord has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So the darkness covered the earth, dense darkness. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. And he's saying over and over again, we've got to let his glory out. We've got to spread it out. We've got to stand and decree and declare what he's doing. And he said also, Ephesians 5:14, my favorite book. He says, therefore, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ will make you shine like the new dawn. And he'll give you the light of his glory. So in this time, we really need to press in and understand where we are. Adar has a lot of things that are, you know, lines up with it. But at the same time, it's a time to break the curses and overrun and overturn all that the enemy is trying to do, and has been doing in your bloodline, in your life, and be restored. And he says, because it's a double month of Adar, it's a time for double restitution. A double blessing. You know, it's the time when the first disciples were chosen, when Christ began his ministry. It's the time when the 144,000 will be sealed. It's a time when they'll write it at the beginning of tribulation. And there's all kinds of things that the word says about Adar. But it's also the time of joy and laughter, because they're coming out of heavy winters into spring. So when Adar arrives, joy increases. So the calendar talks about everything that Adar is, what we look for, and in leap years, how it's a time and a season to prepare. So I want you to prepare. And my dear friends, Bob and Remy Kosh, which is it's Rachel Ben-Joseph and Reagan Ben-Joseph, Remy and Bob, she was President Reagan's personal accountant. And Bob and her had one of the number one vitamin companies. I'm not supposed to talk about it. They had to sell it and leave the country. They were forced out of the country. And they sent him to jail for income tax evasion when he didn't even do it. And then they let him out and sent him back to Israel. So he's not come back to the United States. And he is a rabbi. He's a messianic rabbi bringing a powerful word. So we're in a time and season where we need to understand our Hebrew fruits so we can walk into Christian roots, so we can walk into our Christian fruits. So the Hebrew roots to walk into your Christian fruits, that you can see what God's doing. Now, just a couple snippets. James Nesbitt is a good friend. He's an incredible artist. Most of you see his work every month. And he was talking about the nations going into wars against nations, kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes, epidemics, famines, all these different things that we're facing right now around the world. The challenges, the attacks, the viciousness, everything that's going on in the world right now is not to be caught you off guard. You shouldn't be surprised at all. Do not be surprised at the fiery trials among you. Because we're in a time and season where we can easily grow discouraged. We can just literally get to the point where we don't know if we can handle it anymore. I hear people that are in the ministry and, you know, actually in the ministry, saying, I'm getting ready to leave my wife. I'm moving out. I can't take it anymore. I can't take the pressure. I can't take the family. I can't. I says, you got to be kidding me. You're listening to the wrong voices here. You know, Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and I'll help you, and I'll hold you up with my victorious right hand. You're in a time and season where truth is being revealed, and it's coming out in the churches. Most of you, or many of you, would know about Joel Osteen's church in Houston, Texas, one of the largest churches in the United States. And with that church yesterday, what they believed was a female walked in with a rifle and a trench coat, holding on to a four-year-old boy by the hand, pulls out a rifle and starts shooting. Well, security killed that person, and unfortunately, the young boy got caught in the volley. Young boy wasn't even theirs. It's somebody she kidnapped. And it wasn't even she. It was a transvestite that hated the Lord and hated church and hated Christians. The enemy sent somebody in to kill, steal, and destroy. And God is saying, you know, you're in a time and a season where there's going to be weeping. There's going to be frustration. Weeping endures for the night, Psalms 30, verse 5 says. But joy comes in the morning. And he's telling you, don't be afraid. And don't be discouraged. I'm going to strengthen you. And it was Isaiah 41:10 that I quoted a little earlier. And he says, it's time to go deeper. Now, I won't go into all the different things that many of us do, but we're on a lot of prayer calls, a lot of ministry calls. And in those today, we had an excellent word. And that word was, and I brought up the question. I said, all right, we have a breakthrough. And the Lord showed me where we had been victorious in battling a certain power and principality that he told us to battle because we asked him for permission. But it got really good for about 2 weeks, and then things started getting bad again. I said, what did we do wrong? He said, you didn't occupy. You swept through. He said, I didn't call you to be an evangelist. I called you to disciple nations. I went, wow. So we've been talking about possibly raising up occupation teams that go in and pray over areas that the Lord would have the angels continually be there and pray for the areas that we've gone in and taken in battle. Because we're in a time and season where we need to be on teams. You need to be on this call and team up with others. We need to be in conjunction with like-minded men and women that can pray, that can teach, that can occupy, that can understand. So I said, Lord, how did I miss it? He says, well, you took care of this. And I said, do I go back and rebuke and come after them again, pray again? He says, no, there's no need to repent. He says, consider that they are squatters. And squatters have no legal right to the ground. You've already dealt with that. Rebuke the squatters. I went, wow. Okay. He says, run them off. They have no rights, no authority, no position. But if you leave them there, just like in squatters' rights, if you stay there too long, they can claim the land. Now, that land could be us. It could be property. It could be finances. It could be circumstances, situations. It doesn't matter. But we have to learn and understand that we're in a time and season where God is saying, I'm going to send you on missions. I'm going to give you assignments, prayer and otherwise. Some are going to be called to war. Some are just going to be called to pray. Some are going to be called to worship. Others are going to be called to teach, to preach, to prophesy. And he says, now is the time and season where when you do your assignment and come to me for another, be sure that you've called upon the host to occupy the land. Now, hosts are not real good occupiers. So you call for ministering angels. The host is going to come in and clean up the battle. Matter of fact, they need to be with you in the battle to begin with. But then you need to ask for angels to come in there and occupy, and you need to cover whatever battle you were just in with the blood, with the word, that it would be reclaimed and totally given unto the Lord. For the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of this of the Lord. So be encouraged. Father, I pray right now in the name of Yeshua by the blood of Yeshua. I pray for an outpouring of an anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage off in each and every one of us, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand and know that what our calling is. That you would teach us, guide us, instruct us, empower us. That you'd bless us. That you would literally tell us it's time to advance, advance. No longer hold the line, but advance. Take the field. Take the hill. Take the kingdom and reestablish the kingdom for you, Lord. I pray that all of us would gain in knowledge, wisdom, insight, and favor to do that which you called us to do, that you would be glorified. And I thank you for it in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Now give a shout back.
Glory, glory. You know, one of the things that this call has helped people to do over the years is to become better speakers, to get over the fear of speaking, teaching, prophesying, praying. And I know that's happened to many, many people. One of those that I've never had to concern myself with are what was going to happen when he got involved with us was what was going to come out of his heart, his mouth, and the teaching that he would bring. Because it's always spot on. It's always that which the Lord is saying right now. Now, Matt Fraser is one of our dearest, closest friends. He's anointed and appointed in this ministry. He's commissioned into the ministry, just like John is. And he always closes, I say always, most of the time closes our calls, because he's a consummate closer. He does it better than anybody I know. I'd like to have his skills in that. So I'm not trying to so much as boast in him, as boast in the Lord in him. And we ask him to lead off tonight. So he's got a powerful word. And I said, Matt, it doesn't make any difference what's in the calendar. You put one thing in the calendar, whatever God gave you, it's going to be right. So you need to buckle up and get ready to be blessed. Matt?
Thanks, Wade. You're too kind. You know, it's true. We all are sitting on the brink of something amazing happening in this calendar year, and specifically, you know, in this transition from winter to spring. And I want to start out tonight by just pointing out something the Lord showed me in my own very yard, because it kind of gives us perspective. And the Lord really wanted to highlight something to me. And I think it's important for all of us. You know, when I moved here, my wife and I, back in the middle of July from Maryland to Florida, and I got here, as always, I looked around and I said, it's going to take a few months to get this place where we want. You know, it's been 6+ months. We're still working on it. But when we got here, there was a lot of things like the outside. There was weeds growing everywhere, this and that, and planters, and all the inside work. So the immediate needs were just to kind of clean the place up. And we did that by pulling the weeds and, you know, just getting rid of trash and starting the process. During this, you know, walking around the yard, I noticed some plants that we kept, some we pulled. Some that look like they might have a chance, so they just needed some love. We had a couple of plants on the side of the house that weren't looking too healthy, but I saw an interesting little flower that was dried up on it, and so we decided to keep it and see if it would bounce back. Thank God the Lord does that for us, huh? After months of doing all these other projects and renovations, it became time to start to look at the outside and some of the other stuff we wanted to do to the landscaping and put in some raised beds, other things. I love flowers and I love to grow things. So I had a local gentleman come walk around the yard. As he was walking by the side of the yard, he looked at this little plant that had these trumpet flowers. Now, to our surprise, it was named Devil's Trumpet. Well, immediately my spiritual radars went up, and my reaction was, those plants got to go. So I decided I would wait until the day the yard waste is picked up once a week. Listen to the description of this flower. Datura is a genus of nine species of highly poisonous vespertine flowering plants belonging to the nightshade family. They are commonly known as thorn apples or jimson weeds, but they are also known as the devil's trumpet, not to be confused with the angel's trumpet, which are in the same family as Brugansia. Other English common names include moonflower, devil's weed, or hell's bells. Well, that right there should get my attention to rip it up. Datura belongs to the classic witch's weeds, along with the deadly nightshade, hermin, mandrake, and said all parts of the plant are toxic. And the genus of this plant has a long history for being used for hallucinations, even death. It's well known as an essential ingredient of magical ointments, potions, witches' brews, most notably Datura stramonium. I was like, what does that mean, stramonium? Well, as I looked it up, they're actually still using this plant to produce some medicine. And as the first thing that came up was respiratory disorders. Stramonium is often considered for respiratory illnesses, especially asthma or bronchitis. Well, that one really got my attention because my wife Liz has had a cough for over a week now. So Friday morning, this last Friday morning, she decided to finally go to urgent care. And of all things, she was diagnosed with bronchitis. As they say, you can't make this stuff up. This plant's also used to treat ADHD and some neurological disorders, fever, drug detox, other things. Interesting note, as I pondered this plant and what the Lord was showing me, the devil's trumpet, the little flower points upward or vertical. The angel's trumpet points downward. You see, everything in nature reflects his glory, as we well know. Both flowers are very beautiful, but they show themselves from different positions. And I thought about that, and I think, well, Lord, we're a lot like those flowers. Sometimes maybe we're facing vertical when we need to be coming from the top down. And that's all about our authority. But it brings me to the point. You see, these flowers, after I treated them a little bit, recovered, and they're blooming like crazy. As a matter of fact, they have double blooms. They're white with deep purple flowers on them. Very beautiful, but toxic. As I pondered the information, the Lord began to nudge me. He said, are not all things created by me? Colossians 1 says this, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist. I said, Lord, I know that, but these flowers are toxic. He said, I want you to pay attention. He said, you see, you spend so much time identifying what is evil or paying attention to those who are corrupt and fail to see or take the time to see it's all under my will and all under my plans and control. Then the Lord reminded me in the scripture of the parable of the sower. Matthew 13 says, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't we sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from? Of course, the Lord said the enemy did this. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he said, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Of course, let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters to collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Another translation says it this way, which is kind of fitting for where we are. So it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You know, arise and shine, as Wade said. The Lord's always trying to teach us something. He's always trying to get our focus back on Him and reminding us. The very fact that this nation is full of toxic flowers, they've grown very tall, right beside the pretty flowers, both grown up together, both beautiful, both created by Him. So how do we react? What do we do? Is it our desire just to go and rip up every flower that has a toxic petal? Just maybe as the Lord told me, to wait, learn, and listen, and I will show you what must take place. You know, those flowers are people, are our brothers and sisters. Do we really want to see them all thrown into the furnace of fire? Or there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to be very careful how we perceive, label, or judge in these days ahead. For indeed, we are in the process of the judgment of the bad actors and actions. But our hearts must be aligned with His. I recently saw something referring to people, or those people, as rats. I have never seen Yeshua call anyone a rat. Have you? Indeed. We are definitely at an intersection place in 2024. The point of God's timeline will shape the future, not only of this nation, but the world. And it's how we position ourselves in Him that is going to determine how much He can do in and through us. Robin Main posted something very interesting on Sapphire Ministry. The Lord just downloaded a lot of things to her about what I'm going to talk to you about right now. This goes back to the first solar eclipse across the U.S. back in 2017. You might remember it started from the West Coast, went all the way through to South Carolina. But that was a Lul 1. The days of Elul on the biblical calendar are also called the season of repentance. Yeshua fast ended on the Day of Atonement, which began his 3.5-year ministry on earth. You know, when we think about that 2017, that time period would have passed. But it looks like the Lord in His great mercy has doubled the time of Yeshua's earthly ministry to a 7-year period. And I'll explain that in a minute. You see, the finger of God, His mark, is on the United States. And again, on Nisan 1, which is April 8th, 2024, there's going to be another eclipse straight across the country. These 7 years have been His long suffering. In many ways, it's a plea for many to repent. You know, we've spoken about the scripture many times on this call, 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, it seems like there's always time to repent, but the Lord's got things in motion. You know, that great eclipse of 2017 split this country in half when it started in Oregon and traveled through the entire country through to South Carolina. It was significant in 2017 because the path traveled through 7 cities called Salem. In 2024, the Great American Eclipse will travel south from Texas, this time north through Maine. On a map, these two great eclipses mark an X on the United States. In other words, to mark, the Lord does everything for a purpose. If you look at that mark, it's the Hebrew letter and the alphabet Tav, or a cross. This time, in the path, in 2024, on April 8th, the eclipse, if you follow it, will go through six cities that are all named Nineveh. This was noted in Revelation Watchman 777 by Mark Allison. The six cities are Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh Township, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, New York, and Nineveh, Nova Scotia. You know, many people all know the story of Nineveh, the 40 days to repent when Jonah began to take that trip. He cried out to the Lord, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah, of course, is one of the greatest preachers of all time due to his exceedingly great plan. And that he ignored at first, but the Lord finally got him to go through with it. And there was repenting and people being saved. The Bible tells us the population of Nineveh was more than 120,000. But the Midrash says it was more like a million people. I don't know. But the point is, it was a major shaking that came through. Cyril of Alexandria asked why Jonah had been sent so far away to Nineveh rather than Tyre or some other heathen city. Cyril explained because Nineveh was a virtual Sodom, which reveals the magnitude of the repentance that was needed. You know, the book of Jonah is very unique because you think about where we are as a world and a nation right now. Boy, we need that. When God showed mercy towards those people of Nineveh, he was really showing mercy to one of the bitterest enemies of Israel, the Assyrians. You know, God in all this is really the great hero. And the heart of the story is revealed in Jonah's prayer, where in Jonah 4:2 he says, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abundant in mercy, abounding in steadfast love, and one who relents of disaster. Right now, this whole entire globe is being shaken. Yet our compassionate, merciful God is pleading with all of us to repent. It's one of the greatest things that we're going to experience in our lifetime is right in front of us. You can see it every day. It seems like it's getting turned up more and more. In the words of Hosea 6, it said, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken us, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we might live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning, and he will come to us like the rain, like the latter former rain to the earth. I love that. Like the spring rains that water the earth. You know, recently the Lord had me look at a map of the United States. At that time, it was all white, except for the very heart of America, which was in red. And I looked at it, and Kansas was in the very center. Lord had me look at that. I said, what do you want me to look at, Lord? He said, look at the political date of that primary, which happens to be March 19th. which is coming up shortly. That happens to also be the official first day of spring, Tuesday, March 19th, which marks the vernal equinox. You know, we as the people, like in Hosea says, we will come and see the spring rains come. That moment can bring the spring rains, can replenish the land. The heart of America is right in the middle of what the Lord's doing. Something else I noticed about that date, going all the way back to 2003, that was the day the U.S.-led coalition, the shock and awe bombing of Baghdad. They called it Operation Iraqi Freedom. Millions around the world sat transfixed in front of their TV screens watching as bombs and missiles exploded. That very day, the spirit of destruction was released as never before, and it continues to be fostered by the merchants of war. But yet the Lord is slow and gracious. And when we think about this nation, we think about all the people, even the deeds that they've done. But what is the Lord's heart in all this? You know, it's easy for us to just condemn them. But then that wouldn't be the true heart of it. Yes, there will be things that happen. And as Wade said earlier, we need to be ready. We need to be standing in his presence and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Is it interceding for them? Is it something that has to be done in the spiritual realm? Because the principalities are still behind the scenes. So I just want to pray into this a little bit. You know, when I think about the heart of the United States, the heart of this nation, Lord, just as our forefathers did many years ago, we do so with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Lord, over 20 years ago, 2003, when this country released that shock and awe and bombed Iraq, the events are still cascading all throughout the nations. That event continues to have a ripple effect, Lord. In fact, it has come to our shores and borders. Tonight, Lord, as we stand together, let us release another decree. Lord, you told me it's time to turn and return and declare over this nation once again that we are one nation under you, Lord, one nation under God, where all men are created equal. And Lord, it is your gifts and your blessings that come from you. Our rights come from you. Life, liberty, all things, Lord. And as I thought about that, I went to the scripture and I looked at John 15 with the vine, abiding in you. Lord, for all of us on this call who seek you and seek your perfect will, Lord, we just want to continue to abide in that place because you are the ultimate source of that supply. And those who have it, Lord, those who will cast down, because it's your fire, it's redeeming fire, Lord, that brings them back. It might be trials. It might be trials in this nation, Lord. We've seen many things in the spirit, Lord, but again, you are sovereign. Lord, we just want to be in a position like the angel trumpet, looking from you, your eyes, your heart, your perspective, looking down, rather than the devil's trumpet, which looks up from the ground up. Lord, we want to have your heart, your vision, your clarity, and we want to be able to walk out these next days. Lord, as these events come, and the solar eclipse comes over, and it marks the Aleph Tav over this nation once again. We pray for our leaders that they would have their eyes focused on you. This isn't about politics. This isn't about revenge. This isn't about any of those things. This is about your kingdom. And this is about reestablishing from heaven to earth once again, to plant that stake once again in the heart of this nation, so that those who are raised up for your soul, plan, and purposes, Lord, would have the resources released through them to bring about the change needed. Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise for each one on this call, each one of you listening. And we just say, yes, Lord, we're here. And we are here to listen to your clarion call and just give you all the glory in your precious name. Amen.
Glory, glory. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. John, I'm going to do something a little different, if you don't mind. Steve Lukstra, you know, has been such a wonderful part of this ministry, and he's back down in Brazil, and his timing, he's got family at the house, and he still wanted to be on this call. I'm going to call on him and one other before John brings a powerful word, to see if they've got a prayer or something they need to say. Steve, is there something that's on your heart that the Lord's saying, a prayer that you want to lift up?
Well, I just want to, say that what Matt brought has been on my heart, and that passage in Hosea 6, verse 3 says, it's a call for us to return to the Lord, to know him and to press in to know him. And there's a forcefulness there that is incumbent upon us as the people of God. And part of that, it says that we may live in his presence. But the end of verse 3, it says, as surely as the sun rises, he will come to us. Now, God's not a liar. He's not a deceiver. And so, simply, I want to encourage us, and I'll pray, but I want to encourage us. He says that if we will obey and do the things he says, as surely as the sun comes up in the morning, and it will, his word is true, and he will come to us if we do what we need to do. So, Father, we thank you for your word that is true and faithful. And I thank you, Lord, that you are not a liar or a deceiver. And you call us, Father, to return to you and to seek after you and to press in to know you and to obey you so that you desire to respond to us if we obey what you tell us to do, Lord. And as surely as the sun rises, you will come to us if we obey and do what you tell us to do. And we want that, Lord. We need that in our day. Help us to be of those who are passionate and sold out to press in to know you and to do whatever you call us to do, that we may live in your presence and that you might come to us. We pray it in the matchless, eternal, and promising name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. What time is it there? Are you at 10:15 or 11:15?
It is 11:15 p.m.
Yeah, so I did this to honor Steve and thank him so much for being here. He said he had a long day, plus he's got family and there because there was turmoil on the streets and lots of problems down in Brazil. Like any other major city, it just happens to be countrywide down there. And so I did that to give him the opportunity, if he needs to leave. I wanted to hear what he had to say tonight. That's powerful, and I thank you.
I love so being with you.
The other gentleman that him and I have been battling, he's had problems for a month. I've only had it for a couple of weeks, is Jim Carpenter. Jim, is there a word or a prayer that the Lord's already put on your heart for tonight that you would like to lift up?
Thank you, Wade. Yeah, I just want to encourage all the saints that are involved in this battle. Stand firm and stand in victory. Yeah. The battle rages, and we're all touched by it one way or the other. And so, Father, we're so privileged to come into your presence. For it's written that for two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there also. And what a wonderful group of like-minded believers, spirit-filled believers, victorious people of valor that are joined here tonight. We thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, thank you for the victory that you've given us. We stand in that covenant, that promise that you have made us, Lord. And help us to not falter, but to stand firm and to be able to lead the way and provide the seeds of healing for our nation and other nations around the world, Lord. We just ask for this opportunity for you to open these doors that we could continue on with our destiny. Lord, we pray for continued healing for Wade and myself, and you know that we're winning, but we haven't totally got through this, and we need your help, Lord. Thank you for that that breakthrough that is coming our way. In Yeshua's name we pray, giving you the praise and the glory. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Now, Steve, for you and Jim, just so you know, next week, Bruce and Linda are keynote speakers. So, you know, you should, if you've not gotten a calendar, I want you to, you know, get a hold of it and look and see what's coming up. You know, next is my other partner, and that's John Rockwell. And I'll be honest with you, we couldn't do this ministry without all of you, but John and Matt are the key players that are involved every week in everything we do. And he has a powerful several things to bring. And after that, we're going to continue in prayer for a bit. So John Rockwell, and John, I'm having technical difficulties, so I'm going to mute myself and crawl under my table, see if I can figure out what's wrong. I've got a loose wire. I'm going in and out continually. But John Rockwell, bring it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Wade, and good evening, everybody. Glad that you're all here. I heard you cut out just a bit, so but it's not been bad, so you're fine. Kind of what I've been led to bring tonight, as most of you know, King David in Scripture is really important to what I do and what I'm called to do because of his music, his frequencies that he uses. And I'll go into a little more to that in just a bit. I'm going to kind of give a little bit of what happened to him in his life. It's not a full story of David, King David, or anything like that. It's just a small piece. I might go into it further in weeks to come. I don't know yet. But it's just kind of giving an idea how his life was and, you know, how you may relate to him. I know I definitely do relate to some of the things that has happened to him, happened to me as well. But I'll go into those scriptures in just a moment. But right now we're in a Genesis season. It's time for new beginnings, which we've talked about that in past weeks as well. And it's marked by the Lord's grace. Also, we need to be preparing for the marriage feast. And we've also talked about coming up higher as well. I know Wade has talked about that. So has Matt and several others. And it's just a kind of recurring theme that's been going for the past little while. So in that, kind of what made me think of David, not that it was the only thing, but it's just a one thing that made me think of that. So I'm going to start off when David, his ancestors were, and then how David came about. And again, it's not going to be a full dissertation on David himself, because that would take several hours, and I don't think y'all want to be here that long. Plus, most of David's life, pretty much everybody is familiar with anyway. But I'm going to start off with Ruth 4 and just go through several scriptures. And then at the end, I'll do another piece that I was reading last night. This all kind of culminated from last night and this morning. And then I'll finish up with a song, and I'll explain what that's all about too. But in Ruth 4, Naomi took the child, which was one of David's ancestors, and on her lap, and she became his nurse. And the neighborhood woman gave him the name, saying, "The son, the grandson, has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed, worshiper. He is the father of Jesse and the father of King David, and also the ancestor of our Lord and Savior Yeshua. I'm going to jump now to Samuel. There's many different scriptures in 1 Samuel, but I'm going to go through. So Jesse sent word and brought him in, which is David. And now he was a ruddy complexion man, had beautiful eyes, and handsome in appearance. The Lord said to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him, because this is the one that the Lord, Jehovah, has chosen." Again in Samuel says, "So it came about when the evil spirit from God was on Saul, David took his harp and played it with his hand, so David would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would leave him." And that's kind of the verse that I stick with as far as the frequencies that David used in his life that that grabbed a hold of, and other people have as well. That's the 444 hertz frequency that he played there. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, 13 to 15 says, his three older sons, in other words, this is David's older brothers, followed Saul into battle, and the names of the three sons were Eliab, the firstborn, and Danabed, the second, and the third was Shema. David was the youngest. In other words, he was the youngest son out of those three, and there were several others as well. Now, the three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to attend his father's flock at Bethlehem. So he'd go and serve King Saul, and then he'd go back and tend the sheep. And then David spoke to the man who were standing there, "What is going to be done?" This is when Goliath is taunting Israel. "What is going to be given to the man that kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from the taunting from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has taunted and defiled the armies of the living God?" The man told him that it was to be done to him who kills this man. Verse 28 says, "Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard what he was saying to the man. And Eliab was, his anger burned against David and said, 'Why have you come down here? For whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption to overconfidence and the evil in your heart, for you have come down in the order to see the battle.' But David said, 'What have I done now? What, it was just a harmless question that I was asking.'" And I don't know if you're like me, you get questioned sometimes of what's your motive behind what you're saying. And that is basically an attack on who you are and it's directly from the evil one himself, even though it's working through different individuals. So, Father, I want to break that particular thing down in individual lives and people on this call, other people that may listen later on, that this particular thing that you're being attacked for your motives, even though your motives are pure, you're being attacked for those because you have your good, what you want us to do in this life at heart. We know your heart, and that's what David did. He was a man after your own heart. And so, but we cancel those assignments of the enemy against people here and others as well as we continue to move forward in Yeshua's name. Now I'm going to move on to 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, "Come, you come to me with a spear and a javelin and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." And, of course, we all know that later on David took down Goliath as well. But that's just he's saying where his grounding is in the Father. And this really gets me just because this is the kind of person that David was. And I'm going to give a brief piece here about David and Jonathan as well. David had finished speaking to Saul, and the soul of Jonathan was bonded to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took David that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself, and Jonathan stripped off himself his outer robe that he was wearing and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and bow, and his belt as well. So David went out wherever Saul had sent him and acted wisely and prospered, and Saul appointed him over the men of war, and he pleased all the people as Saul's servants. And now, as I was studying last night, been going through the book by Ian Clayton called The Priesthood of Believers. And what I read last night kind of connects with what I'm talking about here. And it's talking about the Davidic priesthood. And this may be something that none of you have thought of before, but I'm going to read the short piece because I think it's, it ties in with what I'm talking about tonight. This is what Ian had to say. The Davidic priesthood came out of the Levitic priesthood. As I looked at the Davidic priesthood, David became deeply personal to me in my faith walk. Face to face was also the transgenerational crossing over the boundaries of the event and the horizon into the future. In other words, David went back and forth to the future and back. David simply pursued Jehovah. He had entwining with Jehovah to such an extent that Jehovah began to open the doors for deep personal relationship. In Ian's opinion, David was able to reach through the ages and touch the age of Zion, bringing back some of the measures of the realm of the priesthood to operate within that day. David engaged with Jehovah through worship, and like David, worship has remained intrinsic in our lives in the connection with Jehovah. In the Davidic priesthood, worship is a deeply personal face-to-face and is able to reach into the future, which would be described as mystical. David had the effect on the people around him because of his mystical union with Jehovah and his relational place in worship, especially when he was in the cave playing the frequencies of heaven on his harp and singing. This is what I would describe as mystical beginning of the priesthood of which Jehovah is trying to re-engage with creation to bring humanity face-to-face with him again. David touched the future, and I believe he was able to bring into his day because of the things like, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me," which is out of Psalms 51, which the Holy Spirit wasn't given until the New Testament. He brought the ark through the wilderness to the house of Jehovah with thousands of people worshiping 24/7 with the glory of the Lord came upon the ark, upon David, and that's out of 2 Samuel 6. David saw and worshipped and was able to contend with the house of manifestation of Jehovah in creation. In this way, he surrounded the ark with thousands of worshipers who became the veil that overshadowed the ark. So I thought that that really fit in with what David was and who he was and how his life was. And it also fits in with what he composed in the book of Psalms. And I'm just going to read Psalm 1 because I think it is a good place to start. There are many other psalms that I could have used for tonight, but this one was the first one that I came to, being Psalm 1, that I think fits the position, the place that we're in at this present time. And this is how Psalm 1 goes. Blessed and fortunate, prosperous and favored with God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice or example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits down and rest in the seat of the scoffers ridiculing. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like the tree that's firmly planted and fed by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither, and whether it does, whatever he does, he prospers and comes into maturity. The wicked, those who live disobedient to God's law, are not so. But they will be like the chaff, worthless and without substance, which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand unpunished in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord knows and fully approves of the way of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish. And that's kind of what I believe Matt was talking about, that where, you know, the two plants grow up together, the wheat and the tares are going to be uprooted and burned up. That's kind of what that is talking about there in a way that I think is a correlation to it. Now, on to the piece of music that I've selected for tonight. Several years ago, some of the music that I've written 30 years ago is written at the frequency of 440, which is not a good frequency. It's a demonic in nature. And the Lord told me, don't worry about the music that you've written. Just leave it as it is. But this morning, as I was laying in my bed, I got the word that I have a program in my computer that I can take the 440 and convert it to the 444. And I've used other programs that I have not been happy with. But my experiment today, I was happy with it because I always compare it with a pure tone that I have of 444. So this piece that I'm going to play tonight is a piece that I've written 30 years ago. And I just converted it this morning into the 444 from the 440. And this particular piece is called The Ending.
Thank you.
mind you, that was just an experiment to see how it would react to the 444, and I did compare it. It does, like I said, just an experiment. But what another interesting thing on that particular disc that I made 30 years ago, there were 12 pieces of music on it, and I even had a piece called 17. And I'll leave things there. So, Wade, I'll yield back to you.
Thank you. You know, that was very relaxing, restful. That I was tight in my neck and shoulders, and I just totally relaxed. Glory, praise God. That's good. All right, we're going to pray some. And Sharon, do you have a prayer for tonight? And good evening, by the way. I missed you earlier. Miss Kay Sweeter? Okay, we'll come back. Bruce and Linda. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay. What's going on? I'm just in here making dinner, and
I asked if you had a prayer that you would like to pray tonight.
Oh, yeah. Lord, thank you for everything that you're doing in this world. We look at it through the eyes of the flesh, we'll be paralyzed. We look at it through the eyes of the spirit, we'll be energized. Lord, help our eyes of our spirit to be enlightened, to see, to know, to understand, to experience, even to feel your presence, your movement, your plan, your purpose. Everything that's been spoken tonight is so powerful. It's all about you. Listening to John talk about David was so interesting, Lord, about the future, about what Ian says about back and forth. Well, we, in a sense, are to be time travelers. We just don't know it. And so, Lord, may we, when we go into prayer, may we transcend time and space and arrive at the foot of the throne of God, at the feet of the one who answers all our prayers one way or the other. And I just feel like this is for somebody that you just feel like the Lord hasn't heard you. And the Lord has heard you, and the answer is incoming. I just feel to share that right now, so that's all I'm doing is releasing that word. The answer is incoming for somebody who feels like, God, you just haven't heard me. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And many, many times Linda has said that we're in an Esther moment, an Esther season. Well, Esther waited a little bit. So, Lord, give us patience to endure to the great and wonderful outcome you have for us. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Bruce and Linda, I would like both of you. Do you have prayer that you'd like to lift up, or a short word and a prayer?
Short word, then prayer.
Whatever.
Responding to what Sharon just said, the answer is coming. Linda and I were reading just the other morning, yesterday I think it was, out of the book of Romans. I want to share a couple of scriptures here, and it will relate to what she just said. This is speaking, I'm in Romans 4, going verses 17 to 24. Speaking of Abraham, the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, called those things which be not as though they were. The answer is coming. We need to call them. Anyway, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. He had strong faith and belief in the hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he had responsibility to be strong in faith. He was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about, I'm in terrible light here, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was firm in his belief, and was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded not partially, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now think of all the promises, the words of the Lord that we might have received over the last X and umpteen years that we haven't seen the manifestation of yet. It's the word of the Lord. We need to be fully persuaded that the answer is coming, that he has already spoken in advance. Goes on, therefore, it was imputed to him, to Abraham, for righteousness, his faith, his belief in the word of God. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. The answer is coming. We have responsibility. We have a part to play as well. We need to believe the word of the Lord, the written word, the oral word that comes to us from the prophets, that which he has spoken to our hearts, silently laying upon our bed. The word of the Lord is sure and true and settled forever in heaven. That is the word of healing. That is the word of life. That is the word of abundance. That is the word of deliverance. That is the word that you need this day in the name of Yeshua. We have responsibility. Be not weak in the faith. Do not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Be fully persuaded. Then we shall see the answer incoming. So, Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father God, for the sensitivity of your servant Sharon. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, you are doing now in Jim Carpenter's life and Steve Loopstra's life, Father God, in the lives of all those who are strong in faith, willing to believe you against all hope, Father God, that you are faithful to your word to perform it. We thank you, Lord. We set our hearts in agreement. Your word is sure and true. It is done in the name of Yeshua, and we give you the glory and the praise even in advance before we see the manifestation, because it is done. Amen, amen.
Amen. Linda, do you have something?
No, we're one, and he just spoke it.
All right. Outstanding. Matthew, you said you had something for the night. What do you have? Mr. Westrich?
Yeah, worshiping and with thinking about that, I was like, and that one, I was like, wow. That one name, that leads worship and stuff, it was really cool and stuff. So, Steve Swanson.
Okay. All right. Well, John and I will look him up. All right, well, let me go to the next person. John Underwood, do you have a prayer for tonight or something you'd like to say real quick?
Well, let's see. I guess I'll pray a quick prayer then. Lord, thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us. In spite of everything that's going on in the earth, you've made a way for us, and you've even made a way for them. So, Lord, let your mercy be extended to the ones who have been wicked, and give them a chance to repent. I know they've had many chances already, but I pray that you'll let the Holy Spirit deal with them in a powerful way. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And just lift up everyone on this call, that you would continue to heal bodies and to strengthen our spirits. And we just give you all the praise for what you're doing in the earth. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, sir. David Bimbleton, have you got a prayer that you'd like to lift up tonight? Well, he dropped. Okay, Mark Binder, have you got a prayer you'd like to lift up tonight, sir?
Yes, sir, I do. Here it is. Yahweh, our Creator, Father in Heaven, thank you for watching over us and protecting us as we continue to revere the government that you gave to us, to the Founding Fathers. So, Father, bring your glory and your presence in our lives. Cover us with the blood of Yeshua. Send your angels, commission your angels to encamp round about us and go ahead of us and take care of all spiritual and physical attacks, Father. And give us the words, Father, to be effective communicators for the cause of restoring our constitutional rule of nature and nature's God, lawful and beloved republic. Help us take back our position as your sons and daughters before even Adam sinned, because the precious blood of Jesus paid for that transgression and many others so we could be free to do so. So every day the enemy is being exposed for what they really are and always have been throughout history of time and biblical accounts. They would be the ones who accept the true latter-day prophets that are speaking boldly to your people, Father, and uncovering some very important truths that we need to grasp hold of to be able to win this spiritual war of freedom. For we know, Father, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and this fight has already been won as your word has made it certain. Blessed are those who have and continue to do what your word tells them to do, no matter what the worldly transitions of men tell them all to do. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are much needed. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. May your grace that passes all understanding pour out upon this land, that the innocent may be set free from bondage. Guide us, direct us, and lead us to the promised land, Father, for you are Elohim, and there is no other. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Amen, amen. Mark Carroll, do you have a prayer that you would like to lift up tonight?
Yes, thank you, brother. Father God, we give thanks, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thanks that your mercies are new every morning, God. Struck me, God, just... how grateful I am to be part of such a cloud of witnesses, God. Brothers and sisters that love you and warriors that you called us to be. So, God, I just pray blessings over them. I pray life, health, and healing over Wade and others struggling with illness, God. Jesus, by your stripes, we're healed. And I pray that knowledge and truth over my brothers and sisters. God, I give thanks for the revelation you gave me in brother sharing about David, and you called a man after your own heart, and it struck me, God, that we are men and women after your own heart because you have adopted us into your family. So, God, help us to walk in the truth and the fullness of that, God, to do all that you've called us to do, God, for your honor, God. For your glory, God, we want to see you high and lifted up, God, in our lives, our families, in this nation, God, in this world, God. So we say yes and amen to your plans, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, I'm going to address something real quick here. Some of you know, most of you would not know, we've been working behind the scenes with leaders from Canada, and their conservative movement, and helping them get established, President Geiger, myself, former President Tim Turner, It's been very confidential. It's been very behind the scenes, clandestine somewhat, and helping them put together their constitution, their guidelines, and what they're working towards. And we've been doing government leaders across the board in Canada, military, business, political, and ministry. And Brent Abraham, who was the one we were behind, endorsing him to become the conservative leader for Canada, is now on the party ticket and is leading the campaign. So we, as a group of men and women in the Republic, particularly this side, not the ministry side, but the Republic side, are making a difference not just in our nation, but in our neighbor nations. So be encouraged. Y'all's prayers, what you do, and the involvement that we're all doing is making a difference. And we're just standing and believing for that. Now, what the outcome of the Republic is going to be, I'm still not sure of that. The Lord hadn't told me, but I do know that we are making an impact on the world. So, Robert, I held you to last tonight because, and let me verify, I think I've called on everybody. Yeah. Did you have a prayer or word, something that you would like to close us out with tonight, and then I'm going to do communion?
Good evening, all. Well, I have a praise report, a good report, to encourage us. You know, on the wings of what you just shared, we had the wonderful good fortune here in Woodland Park to have Flashpoint. I don't know how many of you follow Flashpoint off the Victory Channel with Gene Bailey, Lance Wallnau, Rick Green, and Frank Kuhneman. Those are kind of the key players. They kind of vary some of the guests as well. Well, they go around the country periodically and have kind of like a town hall meeting or something like that. And so they came here to Colorado Springs. They advertised it as Colorado Springs, but it was actually here in Woodland Park at Harris Bible College. So we had them here on Thursday night and Friday. And the hope, the encouragement, Rick Green held a pastor's roundtable, so we had a group of pastors gather on Thursday afternoon, and then on Thursday night there was the start of it. It was just the it was interesting to watch Gene Bailey, because the power of God came upon him, and they changed their format of how they do these gatherings. So it was lots of praise and worship, and time for folks just to come into the presence of the Lord. And Friday morning was so sweet in just the power of the Holy Spirit over the entire congregation. You know, I love it when a body of leadership who are trying to run an event trust the power of the Holy Spirit and suspend their own agenda. So it's like, God, have your way. You take the lead. And so we saw this, but so that was so refreshing. But then what was also encouraging me as far as the Republic goes is Rick Green has been doing biblical citizenship. He's been doing, Constitution Alive. He's been doing Constitutional Defense. So he's been teaching constitutional courses for years in conjunction with David Barton. Well, he's just partnered up with Flashpoint. He reported that he's got over 100,000 coaches in the Constitution now across the country, and there's been over 1 million Americans have now done this basic constitutional training. And that just so warmed my heart. You know, I've taught multiple numbers of his classes, and you know, I tend to embellish them and add more than what the basics are. But the point is that I'm starting to see the average American have an avenue to get an understanding of what most of us who are in the Republic have been aware of for years and years. So there's just such a excitement, such a hope in the air of God really breathing in this time. This, it is an Esther moment. It's happening suddenly. And God's not at the effect of the globalists and all their attempts to scuttle what God's doing, their attempts to steal, kill, and destroy. God's at the forefront with his people. And it just so encourages me and puts a spring in my step to be watchful, vigilant, attentive. Lord, what are you doing today? How is it that you call us to step into today and to speak your life, your light, your hope into what's happening in the circumstances that are in free fall, quite frankly? So I just, on that piece of encouragement, wait, are you going to lead a communion, or do you want me to do that?
I would love for you to do it. Go right ahead.
Say again.
I would love for you to do communion. Close us in prayer. Do communion. Close us in prayer.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, if you have your elements, let's take them together. You know, I just love the admonition that Jesus gave us. He says, do this, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And that communion, he knew he was stepping into a future. His disciples had no concept of what was going to happen to him in the next 24 hours. I think it was 24 hours, not sure exactly. But he said, you know, I am giving you a part of me. I've tried to teach you over the last 3 years that I mean you. And as you recognize that I willingly laid down this life, I broke my body, I allowed myself to be beaten. And they didn't know that yet. They didn't know he was going to be beaten and whipped on the journey of the station, what we called in Catholicism the Stations of the Cross. But he willingly laid down his life. He wanted another solution. He said to the Father, Father, if there's any other way, let it be so. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he courageously, with acceptance of what was on his plate at that time, he broke the bread, he lifted it up to heaven, and he said, my friends, this is my body which has been broken for you. Take and eat. I invite you to take of the bread. And I ask you to savor it. Savor the bread. Every morsel as it melts in your mouth and you chew on it. Ponder that. Don't be in a hurry to rush through the taking of the elements. Such love, such powerful, powerful love. And you know, it wasn't all woe and sadness. He knew what was coming out the other end. He knew that he would overcome the grave. And each one of us then, as we drink of the cup, the cup is for the forgiveness of our sins. the fact that we are in clay vessels. And so as he finished dinner, I don't know if they had cheese and with their bread or not, but he took the cup and he lifted it up to heaven. He blessed it. And he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood, which has been poured out for you, which has been the price I've paid for the forgiveness of your sins. We're new creatures. The old has passed away." He knows we're clay vessels. You know, we're not perfect. He knows as much as we try in our own strength that we need him. So as we take of the cup, do this in remembrance of Yeshua.
Thank you, Lord. Yes,
hallelujah! God reigns.
Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you so much. Matt, anything else before we close? Say goodnight.
I'm good.
Right. John?
Yeah, I think we've got had a very, very good night. Things have flowed like the Spirit wanted.
All right, John, pull up the website while I'm doing this one other thing. I want you to give a commercial again for those that did not get the calendar. Bruce and Linda are going to be teaching next week. It's going to be powerful. The anointing of the Lord is here. They're wonderful, incredible teachers and have so much to share. Invite somebody. They don't even have to be in the Republic. Just invite somebody. And let's spread the blessing. And I'm asking John to give one more shot at where to find Adar 1, since I'm having computer problems. To help us spread the word in there.
All right. What you need to do is go to the Republic for the United States of America.org. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see a tab that's called Divine Providence. If you click on Divine Providence, it'll bring up the very first thing that you'll see will be Wade's picture, and under the Divine Providence, and then you scroll down just a bit, and you look for the scriptures for the healing of the nation, and when you find that particular tab, click on it, and the first thing that you'll see will be Adar 1, 5784, and you click on that, it's a PDF, and you can download that from there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Blessings to all. May the Lord watch over you and keep you. May he give you rest and restitution. And remember, this is a month of double return. So press in, keep your eyes open, be watchful, and push forward as he tells you to. And with that, I say good night and thank you all so very much for being part of this call tonight.